It's good to be here, and it's good to see you all here. We are going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing number 13 out of the wee hymn book. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and we'll pray, and then we'll begin. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for a new day. Thank you for life and health and strength. Thank you, Lord, for each head that's bowed in your presence, for our brothers and sisters across the world. And I pray that even now, Lord, that you would take and minister to each and every one of us. That you would speak also, Lord, to those that don't know you yet as Saviour, especially those that were reminded, not just in the waterside and dairy, Lord, but across the world, with a leaflet, with a verse of scripture, with a hymn, with a half-remembered Sunday school lesson, Lord. Please, I pray, you work in people's hearts and minds. And bless our time here this morning. Thank you for all your many helps and blessings, for our wee bit of fellowship, and Lord, for Lord, just for being here. We ask all this, and thank you for loving us and saving our souls, Lord. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. 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 Number 13 in the wee black books. Good hymn to sing for first in the service. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Number 13 in the wee black books. Let's make a joyful noise. Go on to heaven, let's sing it. Books, folks, we're switching books. If you would like to take and turn to 264 in the big books, whether it's red or blue or green, I'm not sure whether that or both. That's, do we have red, blue and green? I thought I was seeing the blues and the greens. You know, I have an old fleece. Norman has one exactly the same. I called it my green fleece, but wasn't formed, but it was actually a shade of blue. So there you go. I'm a bit colourful. Once for all, if you're able, stand as we sing hymn number 264.
Him that is weak in the faith, receive him. but not to die for this people, this dispensation. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that guardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set aside thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or any occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know that I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean in of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, and walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approveth of men. Let us therefore fall after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one man edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but is evil for the man who eateth with offence. It is good that neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak, as thy faith have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whosoever is not of faith is sin. Amen.
Thank you, Norman. Amen. Thank you, Norman. Some good verses in there. Well worth another read when you get a chance. In the meantime, I just want to remind everybody of, in memory of me as a single man washing my clothes, and how many of them turned out pink in the days, or grey, I think. But we're on the May 26th to June the 2nd prayer list. Make sure that you get one if you're thinking of praying for any of the folks in the church. Take one of those and take you 5 minutes, and you can pray with your eyes open and speak to God about all of those things. Having said that, is there anything that anyone would like to add to this prayer list this morning? I'm glad to hear that. Is there anybody with private prayer requests? One, two, three, four.
Okay. All right. Does anybody have any thanks that they would like to let me go on, and then we can all be glad that God did something in your life recently? Yes, Mrs. Bradford.
I am thankful that I was there when Pearl was unwell and I was able to help her. I don't know how to describe that. Being obedient and going in, because I didn't really feel like going Friday morning. And if I hadn't gone...
Please pray for Pearl. She is
86
years old, and she's having a few health difficulties right now. With sugars and possible blood pressure, maybe a stroke or something. Have they ruled that out?
They have been tested.
So please do pray for her. I'm thankful we were able to be out yesterday morning and putting a few leaflets in around where Will lives, right in Blackburn. It's a rough area. Will comes from it. But it's not as rough today because everybody got a gospel track. Well, about half of them got a gospel track. Seriously though, we were able to be out tracking yesterday. We never received any phone calls or complaints. Sometimes people have those little stickers in their doors that they no cold callers, no leaflets or anything like that. And on the back of the tracks we have our phone number. So many times whenever we put them in, I'm sort of expecting a phone number. Monica can get that because she's at home. But sometimes I expect that, but we didn't receive any. So maybe people are able to tell the difference between a takeaway menu and a gospel tract. But we're glad of that. We were able to be out. It was good. We had a good day. It was just, I think it was just perfect walking weather. So, yeah, we had a good time. I think that's about that. If there's anything else, let me know. Make sure I write it down. And we will add it to the list of things that we pray about on our own time. In the meantime, Will, if you would like to lead us in a wee word of prayer, then we'll continue.
James, I thank you, Lord, and Lord, thank you for the assistance and preservation of Jesus Christ upon our own soul. And since we're now partly for the time, may your name be esteemed and praised above all others, Lord. Since we're now partly, Lord, and both the tracks and the talking to people, Lord, about Jesus, Lord, that you would direct people of the neighbor, Savior. Since we're now partly, Lord, throughout this land, throughout this world as well, Lord, for your missionaries, evangelists, pastors, ministers, and Christian workers, Lord, and lay Christians as well, Lord. Jesus will bind the prophet. Lord, you are the servant today, Lord. Show us as a move for you, Lord. And you want for a number, Lord. And Lord, be present, Lord. Give more to touch the Spirit, Lord. And help us and push us along our Christian life, Lord. And Lord, maybe we're more able to talk to people and witness to people of the Son, Lord Jesus Christ, at the cross, Lord. And his soul loving nature as well, Lord. Give us in tears, Lord. Give more to, touch the Spirit, Lord, and touch us as well, Lord, and give us a message, Lord, and help us to go into a new, hopefully, Lord, a new Christ-centered week, Lord. Show them off the lead, Lord. Bless our families, and bless our friends as well, that they may yet come to the Lord, Lord, prosperous and bless us as well, Lord. Praise us, praise the great and holy name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. All right, let's take our hymn books again, if you would like to take and turn to, let me see, hymn number 162, 162. If any of you ever come to church and there is a hymn that you've been singing all day or all morning or whistling or humming or whatever, and you really want to sing it in church, let me know before the church starts, and we'll sing it. I'm always happy to sing a hymn that's on people's minds. 162, to God be the glory.
let's just go back about 20 or 30 hymns to 129. 129, and we'll stand if you're able, especially Norman this morning. We'll stand if you're able, and we'll sing the Rock of Ages. I feel sorry for Norman and his poor back. Amen. I feel sorry for anybody with any aches and pains. Amen. 129, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let's make a joyful noise. Spend a minute or two this morning on the subject of It Is Enough, and a few other things as well, but the title for the message is It Is Enough. I was quite surprised this morning whenever we came in, or whenever Norman and John were walking in, to feel a wee bit of rain, because I had it on good authority that we were supposed to be getting very good weather today. I walked out last night to lock the doors at the house, and I saw a beautiful red sky. And according to the Bible, it says the red sky at night is shepherd's light. Well, we're expecting a good day, but that's all the rain we got whenever we got that wee sprinkle on the Calvary. Well, I could live with that this morning. Amen. Trust you're all well. You're all well prayed for. And I trust that you spend time in the presence of your Father in heaven. Wouldn't it be awful to get to heaven and not recognize God? Because you never spent any time talking to him or reading about him. But I know that will not happen, but it's just a wee thought that passed through my head. There's a lot of thoughts pass through my head. I don't act on all of them, and I don't speak on all of them, but some of them are worth thinking of. We're going to read through to verse number 17. And we are in John chapter 13. The word of God says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. The supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went from God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Amen. Amen. And even as we were reading that, just at the very, very end, is a cardinal truth that many people miss. Happiness is not an aim, it is a result of doing stuff. You are happy if you do them. Anyway, let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we will continue on. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity to be in your house and in your word, and reading it, and just spending time around it, Lord. And I pray you, please, that you would be one of our number. Lord, I'm only speaking the words, but we certainly need Holy Ghost understanding and wisdom this morning. And I pray that for each and every one of us, our brothers and sisters across the world, especially, Lord, in Temple Patrick at Cloudy Water, over Black Creek, Lord, Baptist, and of course as well, Lord, Grace Bible over in the States, for Stan, for all those, Lord, that are opening your word and preaching the full counsel of it, Lord, I pray you an anointing and helps for everybody around you. We really do need you, Lord, especially as the days are the way they are. And we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. And we're not forgetting Israel, Lord. Please look after them. And that young fellow, Colin, Lord, I pray you for his life. We leave these things at your feet, Lord. And thank you for loving us and watching over us. Pray that you would grant them according to your will. Amen. I got a communication from young Colin there. Goodness, I am old enough now to say that a man of 25 years old is young. But young Colin, I got a text from on Facebook yesterday to say that they were preparing for a Russian assault on their location. That's all I got. I haven't heard anything else. So please do pray for his life and the lives of those around the Bible for good sense to prevail. Amen. John chapter 13, beginning at verse number 1. A few thoughts before we launch into the two lessons that I have the Lord gave me to bring to you. First of all, before that, just remember, happiness is not an aim in itself. Happiness is a result of accomplishment, of doing things. So please do remember that. When people say your happiness is the most important thing, that's not true. That is modern worldly teaching, and it leads to a lot of bother. Accomplishment brings happiness, satisfaction. As we open this little bit of God's word, we see that the Lord is still teaching final lessons to his disciples before his arrest and crucifixion, and of course his rising from the dead, his resurrection. And we have in this portion of Scripture an account of what it means to be a real Christian. I'm not talking about a church goer. There's a lot of people in churches, Baptist churches, Methodist, Roman Catholic, Protestant, Charismatic, all sorts of churches that are not Christian. And yet there are Christians in churches that you wouldn't think that there would be in. For whatever reason, that's between them and God. But there's a couple of excellent lessons in here, life lessons that we would do well to consider and even apply to our lives, which the Lord saw fit to leave with his apostles, his followers, before he went home to heaven. In some churches, it's a thing called feet washing. And sometimes there are churches that would do this every service. It's a little bit like, have you ever heard of snake handling churches? They seem to have quite a high mortality rate in snake handling churches. That was a gift that was given to the apostles, and that's gone now, about handling serpents and not dying if you get bitten by them. But these things are examples, things that the Lord gave to us so that we could learn not to repeat just what the Lord did, but to learn from them and to grow. It's a little bit like the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is a model prayer. It is an example of how you should pray. In the same way as the Lord did these things, so that the disciples would have an example of how they should live. He begins with, and as it happens so many times when you read the Bible, you don't know what I am saying right now, but as you grow as a Christian, you will understand. In other words, you'll have a little light bulb moment, and then you'll say, that's what that means. And I am coming across them constantly, even in portions of Scripture that I have read before, things that I have read 100 times, and all of a sudden, they just fall into place. There is a reason for all of the disciples that Jesus picked. The one you hear most of in the Bible, does anybody have any idea? It's Peter. Because Peter was to shoot first and ask questions later, sort of a bloke. The other one, of course, was Judas Iscariot, and the rest of them got an honourable mention from time to time. But the Lord chose Peter for a reason. Because there's a bit of Peter in all of us. And somebody, do you ever remember being in school, there was one kid that would always ask the stupid questions. Why is that, teacher? You'd always have one. And Peter was it, because we learn through Peter. I had an old math teacher. He was a bit of a fearsome character. In all honesty, whenever he was teaching me, I'm now his age back then, and that just makes me think. He used to say, I am a math teacher. If you have problems with mathematics, ask me. That is my job. And the Lord used Peter to ask him the questions so that we could read this and understand why it was that Jesus said and did the things that he did. And so the apostles are all watching the Lord, and he takes his coat off. And he sets it to one side, and he gets a towel. Anybody here ever do their time in a hotel, or serve in a pub or anything like that? A waiter, or someone that works in a hotel, normally carries a towel with them. Because there's always stuff to be tidied up or cleared up, and a towel or a rag is a great thing for doing that. And when I say a rag, I mean a towel. The Lord takes his coat off and takes a towel, and he starts washing the disciples' feet. He started doing the work of a servant. If you ever went into somebody's house, back in the day, people didn't have DMs. They didn't have Gore-Tex and breathable fabrics on their shoes. And they didn't have merino wool socks that wicked away the moisture and were inherently antimicrobial. They had sandals. And they had bare feet in the sandals. And their feet would always be covered in dust. And it was a sign of hospitality. When you visited someone, that they would give you a bowl of water to wash your feet in and to freshen yourself up. And so Jesus is washing their feet, and he comes to Peter, and Peter thinks, no, don't wash my feet. I don't want you to wash my feet. You shouldn't wash my feet. In other words, he didn't want his Lord, his master, to humble himself, to make himself less than Peter was, with the best of intentions. How many times do we do that? No, no, don't worry about that. I'll do it. Sometimes you need to let people do things for you. It's something that they can do. And the first lesson is, when Jesus was speaking to Peter, he said, and he wasn't talking about washing feet. He was talking about washing away sins in verse number 8. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. If I do not pay for your sins, then you're nothing to me. You're not my brother and God. You're not the son of my father. You'll not have a friend in the Holy Spirit. If I don't wash you clean from your sins, you're nothing to do with me. Now, of course, Peter, he didn't quite catch the spiritual significance of that. So he said, oh, if that's the case, wash me all. Wash my hands and the head as well. I'll be super clean. And Jesus goes on to say, you don't need anything else. When I wash your feet, when I wash you, you don't need anything else. In other words, that Christ's work on the cross is sufficient to save our souls for the endless ages of eternity and to save our lives right now. Nothing else required. That means no prayers are required to save your soul, other than it's not a matter of saying a prayer and that gets you a point. There are no good works that you can do that will save your soul. There's no little old lady that's got like a golden halo around her head and she's the one that if you help her across the road, that'll save your soul. There are no people to be pulled out of the jaws of a shark or a crocodile. There is nobody to be yanked out of traffic. There is no child to be reared, no husband to be honored, no wife to be cherished. That will save your soul. It is trusting only in the washing that Jesus Christ offers. Notice I said offers because we need to accept it. His work, his cleansing, has always been enough for every single soul that has ever drawn breath to take them from the guttermost, as a wee man that came to the church used to say, to the uttermost. And it's like so much of the prophecy and teaching in the Bible. I am sure when Peter looked back on that years later, he said, how could I have been so stupid? I see that now. But you know what the important thing about that is? That he was prepared to learn. That he was prepared to view where he was and to see where he could be and learn and grow. And we should look to be the same. Lesson number 2, as the Lord said, is that we should never be so proud that we can't do what needs to be done. You need to remember a few things. The God that made everything in this world didn't think twice about giving up his power and his, let me put it another way, he didn't give up his power, but he gave up his glory and a lot of his authority whenever he came down to this world in the form of a servant. for you and me to minister to us, not to have people crowd around him and say how wonderful he was and can I take a selfie with you, but to minister to us. In this case, to wash the feet of his followers. These men that had given up their jobs and were followers of an itinerant preacher, they were gradually slipping down the social scale, becoming less and less important until they were like the bottom of the rung. And yet, even at that point, the Lord was happy to get down on his hands and knees and wash the feet of these men that had given everything else up, were one step up from beggars in the eyes of society. God has gone to great lengths to reach us and to minister to us. And the lesson is, do not ever be afraid to get your hands dirty when you're serving God. And I don't mean going out and killing people. It's not that sort of hands dirty. I mean a little bit of dirt under your fingernail, or a little bit of time out of your schedule. You should never be afraid to do that. I know there are ministers and priests of every shade and every stripe in this world, of every religion, and most of them want to stand in the pulpit and have people looking at them and tell them how wonderful you are. Oh, you're so eloquent. You are so well studied for your sermon. You can say those things anytime, by the way. Your words are so clearly enunciated. See, I've remembered a few of these big words for the day. You're so learned. But they don't want to go and help that person. They don't want to go and put their shoulder to the grindstone, if that's the right euphemism, to lighten their load. In fact, Jesus even gave off about them whenever he was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees and the things that they did to the people they were supposed to be helping. He said, "Woe unto you, you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You lay grievous burdens to be borne on men's backs, and you don't even lift one finger to help them." That is the job of a Christian. Servants. Servants to the King of Kings. And when we do things for folks, we're not just doing it to help them. We're doing it because God asked us to do it. I am going to tell you the unpleasant truth about being a pastor or a minister. I get to do this and you see me doing this. And maybe you'll see me whenever we're having a cup of tea or whenever I'm helping you with whatever it is that you've asked me to help you with. But I have seen me having to change an adult diaper on a member of the congregation. Nobody else was going to do it. It fell to me. I have seen me having to patch up a wee fella who was hanging on the back of one of those seats and pulled it down on himself and split his cheek. And even though I am not the best with blood, whenever they told me they were going to have to pull that drain out on the side, I thought, "Oh, are you going to put me out for that?" Yeah, no, no. Just grit your teeth, you'll be fine. I thought, this is like one of those horror movies I used to watch as a child and then not sleep the whole night. He was bleeding and split his lip or his cheek. And I had to take him in there and start dabbing his cheek with a cold compress. And I was sort of having the dry heaves and thinking, I'll be okay. If I can get through this, I'll be grand until it's over. I'm not good with blood, especially my own blood. I like it where it is. You don't see that. You don't see having to clear up vomit off of the floor or dab out someone having missed a toilet break or change a nappy. The nap, changing a nappy on a little child. I normally defer to Monica for that. But I have done it myself. People don't see that. People don't understand that being a minister is not a job title that demands the ministrations of others. Being a minister, a pastor, is a job description that means you minister and you help. And many people don't get that. I remember being out in the town a number of years ago. Does anyone recall to mind a copy of the book of Luke landing in through your letterbox maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago? There were a number of churches in the town that organized to put these in through all the letterboxes. And the only time I ever saw the ministers from the three churches was on the Peace Bridge for a photo opportunity. I guarantee you, as sure as you're all sitting there and I am standing here, somebody else did all the work. If you are too proud as a Christian to go to God and say, "Look, God, I'm here. What do you want me to do?" If you are the person that, I don't know if you've ever seen those, has got your ticket, you're saved, and you're just sitting waiting for your name to be called, and you're not doing anything, what's the point? God can't use you. You've put yourself in a position where you think that you have learned everything and done everything that you need to do. What good are you to those around and about you? We shouldn't be like that. We should be able to read our Bibles with the mindset, this is God talking to me. We should be able to see the lives change with even a small deed or just a word in season. Just like God did in the Bible many times, just a word was all in me. That's all that God asks you to do. And we can't do that. We can't learn a verse of Scripture or study a portion of God's Word or convey that to somebody else. What use are we? Does anybody know the difference between a tool and an ornament? Ornaments look nice and require maintenance, and you'll maybe look at it and think, oh, that's a beautiful ornament once in a while. But if you're someone that needs to use tools, the best tools that an industrious workman will ever have are full of scratches and dents. They've been used to accomplish, to make things happen, just like we were talking about happiness earlier on. And we are God's hands and his lips and his feet in this world. We are his strong backs in this world. Yes, God still does miracles, but many times God's miracles are carried out through his children. That's you and me, friends. That is us that are saved. We need to know that when you sign up for being a Christian, you're not going to spend the rest of your days watching TV, no matter how attractive that may seem, sitting on a couch, drinking tea and eating biscuits, working the remote control. That is such a poor and an empty and a narrow life to lead. Yes, I've done my fair share of it when I was convalescing after hospital. I'm sure John has done it as well. Norman even shared that he spent his fair share of time in bed convalescing from things. But that's not the way we are meant to live. God says, I have something that I want you to do. I should have actually brought a little prop that I had for a children's address in a school about 5 or 6 years ago. And it had all the superhero things on it. And I showed them the big red and blue and white shield with the star in the middle. And I said to all the children, "Who does this belong to?" And everybody knew it was Captain America. And I showed them the big S in the funny sapphire shape, and I said, "Who does that belong to?" And they said, "That's Superman." And I showed them the three claws. Interestingly enough, everyone knew that in the primary school that was Wolverine. And I showed them the black spider on the red background. Of course, everybody knew that was for Spider-Man. And when asked if these guys knocked at your door and said, let's go and do stuff together, you'd be thinking, yes, a life of adventure. I'll get an entry in a Marvel comic or a DC book and we'll be doing stuff with Spider-Man or Superman or Captain America. In fact, if they knocked on the door and said, if Superman knocked on the door and said, come with me and we'll have many interesting and exciting adventures, and I promise I will see you safely home, I would say most people would go with him. Because he's like really strong and fast, and he's heat vision and ice breath and all that stuff. And if he makes a mistake, he can wind time back and do it good. He did it in the movies, did it in the comics. And if he knocked on people's doors, people say, hold on, I get the coat. We're gone. But get an all when God knocks on our door. And you need to remember this. Superman was based upon the biblical description of the Messiah. Only Superman is limited. His eyes is a flame of fire. He is indestructible and can't be killed. He can do anything. He can turn time back. And he created everything. So many people won't go. When God offers so much more than just a good time. But he does promise to see us safely home if we trust him. And he does make good on it. As you pray and read, not just the Bible, but anything, we should remember that we are limited, fallen, broken creatures. And we are so badly broken that we needed God Almighty in the form of Jesus Christ to give his life on the cross of Calvary to save us. We don't know everything. We can't do everything. And we can't be everywhere. But the God that gave his life on the cross for us can. He is. He knows all our strengths and weaknesses better than we do. Each one of us is like a canvas, a beautiful picture painted on a canvas. Every one of us different, but every one of us amazingly intricate, beautiful in our own right. And he has provided for us for the endless ages of eternity. If we will let. I don't know about you. I enjoy accomplishing stuff. I enjoy the satisfaction of getting it done. I had a throat plate to put in the wood burner yesterday. It landed and it needed about an hour of trimming with an angle grinder to cut the holes into the right places. And I got it done and it was great to get it done. How much more do you reckon it is great and satisfying and even a blessing to do something when God calls? There's growth to be had. There's blessings to be had. There's Christian strength of character to be had. There's wisdom to be had. There's the opportunity to allow God to make good on his promises to each and every one of us to be had. All we got to do is probably best summed up by little Samuel. Does anyone remember the account of Eli looking after little Samuel? In 1 Samuel chapter 3, God calls Samuel. And Samuel doesn't know. So he runs into Eli. And Eli eventually understands what's going on, and he said, right, Samuel, the next time you hear your name being called, this is what you say. Speak, for thy servant heareth. That's what we should do. That's what we should do. God, he could ask you to do something absolutely amazing that the whole world will see, and you will receive accolades from saved and lost alike. Or he might only ask you to do something that's going to be helping the equivalent of helping a little old lady across the road and nobody but you and that little old lady will ever know that it happened. But whatever it is, when the Lord asks, just to say, speak to thy servant here. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good time. And God bless you. Right. We are going to sing Fight the Good Fight, I think. If I can find it. Oh, there's the F's there. Hymn number 381, if you'll stand with me as we sing Fight the Good Fight. Amen. Thank you for loving us and saving our souls. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son to be our Savior. And Lord, we love you and thank you. And we ask for all this and all of our prayer requests and for our brothers and sisters across the world, for help and strength and blessing, and for those that don't yet know you, Lord, for salvation. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit. We are dismissed.